As you know very well, this place of worship, this building, has been here for about 60 years. Now, some members here might remember when this congregation purchased some homes right here next to the church and then tore them down. Why? So you could have the parking lot that exists here to this day. Around 20 years ago, the members of this congregation put on an addition to this building. The addition where my office, the secretary's office, the upstairs bathrooms are now located. Some of you remember putting that on. You also installed an elevator. You installed an elevator at great cost so that the elderly and those who have disabilities could travel through the congregation with ease so they could hear God's word and study His word. That's right, repairs have been made to this building over the years. As you know, we recently had to put on a new roof. Now, the reason that so much time and money has been invested in this building is not because of the building itself, but because of what takes place here. In this place, people are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, thereby becoming saints of God. In this place, God's word is read and preached and taught so that God's people might be comforted with His forgiveness, nurtured in their faith, and equipped to be His witnesses in this world. In this place, bread and wine are blessed by the very words of Christ so that His people might eat and drink His body and blood and thereby be assured not only that their sins are forgiven, but that God Himself dwells in them. In this place, God's people worship their wonderful God who created them and saved them. In this place, you sing to Him, and you pray to Him, and you give your offerings of time, talent, and treasure. Now, of course, there are many other things we do in this church, but the most important things that take place here are those things I just mentioned. Holy baptism, the reading, preaching, and teaching of God's Word, the Lord's Supper, worship, prayer. That's what this building is all about. Because of all the wonderful things that take place in this building, many people refer to this place as God's house. But is this really God's house? Or does God dwell somewhere else? Today I continue my sermon series on the Old Testament minor prophets, and today's sermon title is, The Lord Has Come to His Temple. Today's sermon is based on our reading from the prophet Haggai, who preached in God's name around 520 B.C. Now, that date, 520 B.C., is significant. If you recall my previous sermons, the Lord had sent other minor prophets to warn the southern kingdom that unless they repented of their sin and sought the Lord's mercy, they would be destroyed by the armies of Babylon. Sadly, the people in the southern kingdom refused to listen to God's prophets, and so God's warning came true. In 587 BC, God sent the armies of Babylon against His people. Why? He did this in the hope that some of them would repent of their sin and trust in Him for salvation. Now, when Babylon attacked Jerusalem in 587 BC, they completely destroyed the city. The walls of Jerusalem were torn down, the houses were torn down, the temple itself was leveled to the ground. Many of God's people were killed. But the others who survived were taken as exiles to Babylon, where they remained for about 70 years. A whole new generation died. A whole new generation was born. However, After almost 70 years had passed, God allowed some of His people to return to Jerusalem. Why? So they could rebuild the city, but especially so they could rebuild the temple of God. And that takes us to the time of Haggai, when God called him to preach to his people who had returned to Jerusalem. Now, why did God have to send his people the prophet Haggai? Well, sadly, when the people returned to Jerusalem, they quickly started rebuilding the city. They especially started rebuilding their homes, but they never, ever seemed to get around to rebuilding the temple. Well, God had something to say about that. I want you to listen again to these words from the book of the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Did you hear that? The people of God were focused intensely on the things of this world, but they had no desire for the things of God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with building a nice home for yourself. There's nothing wrong with acquiring some material possessions for yourself. As long as you're putting God first in your life, as long as you're giving regularly and sacrificially to the mission of His church in this world. But if we focus only on the things of this world and spend all the money God has given us on ourselves, then this is a sign that we are spiritually bankrupt and we have no faith in God. And boy, oh boy, do we have this problem in America today. The church buildings that we see in Jamestown, they were built years ago by people who gave sacrificially of their resources because they hungered and they thirsted for the things of God. But sadly, there's a generation of people who could care less about such things. There are many people right here in this community who could care less about what goes on in our church buildings. They have no desire to attend services here. They have no desire to study God's Word here. They have no desire to worship God here along with other Christians. And needless to say, they give no financial support to God's mission. They are focused on the things of this world. They are spiritually bankrupt. But of course, those of us who do attend the services of God's house, like all of us this morning, those of us who do give offerings in support of God's mission, like all of us here this morning, well, we dare not look down on others who don't attend church or who don't give at all as though we're somehow guiltless. You see, even we Christians who do attend services in this building, even we Christians who do give offerings to support the mission of this congregation, even we can be guilty of focusing on the things of this world and not focusing on God as we should. For example, we might attend church on Sunday on a regular basis, but do we live out what we hear during the week? Or do we forget about it almost immediately after we walk out of the church door and live the rest of the week as though God did not even exist? We might give offerings, but do we always give our best? Do we always give sacrificially? Do we always give on a regular basis? Or have there been times in our lives where we just give God the leftovers? Have there been times in our lives where we have cut back on our offerings or even stopped giving offerings just so we could get some luxury for ourselves? The fact is, we all need to repent of the times that we have not put God first. We all need to repent of the times that we failed to take our worship of God with us from this building into our lives and into our homes and workplaces and schools and neighborhoods. That's right, we are to take what we hear in this place with us and live it out during the week. But we have all failed at that miserably. But I have good news for you. The same God who exposes our sin and calls us to repent, this is the same God who forgives us for the sake of His Son who died for us. This is the same God who says to us sinners, I am with you. For example, after God sent Haggai to rebuke the people for their sinful selfishness, something wonderful happened. For once, God's people actually listened to the prophet. After the prophet Haggai preached God's word to them, did you notice what happened? The Holy Spirit convicted them of their sin. They sought God's mercy. And what did God do? Did He say, well, I'm not going to forgive you. Here, I brought you back to Jerusalem and you just focused on yourselves and didn't build my house. Forget you. Why should I forgive you after all you've done? No. The moment they came to God in humble repentance, He forgave them completely. And the result of God's mercy on them was that they were given new hearts and they started to rebuild the temple. And as they were rebuilding the temple, God said, I am with you. Now, what did God mean by that? He didn't only mean that He would provide for their needs so that they could rebuild the temple, but even more, He was saying that the whole point of rebuilding the temple was so that they could know that God was with them. You see, we need to understand why God told them to build the temple. It wasn't because God needed a place to live. God doesn't need a place to live. He created the entire universe for crying out loud. God doesn't need a building. But God knows that we need a place where we can focus on God. God knows that we need a place where we can gather together with a multitude of fellow believers to hear His word and worship Him in unity. God knows that we need places and buildings to remind us of what is really important in life. God knows that we need places where we can feel connected to Him and where holy things take place. In fact, later on in the book of Haggai, we hear these wonderful, wonderful words that point us ahead to the coming of God's Son, our Savior. Listen. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Now let me talk about that prophecy for a little bit. First of all, what does God say? What does God mean when He says that He's going to shake the nations? He simply means He's going to get their attention so He can focus on something, they can focus on something important. It's kind of like if somebody's sleeping on Thanksgiving Day and suddenly everybody arrives, the family and friends, the meal is ready to take place, but somebody's snoozing. So you go in and you wake them up, you shake them and say, hey, it's time to come and celebrate. It's time to come and enjoy the Thanksgiving dinner. Well, that's what God is going to do. He says, I'm going to shake the nations. I'm going to get their attention. And I'm going to tell them the desire of all nations has come. And of course, the desire of all nations is their Savior. The promised Savior, Jesus. We heard about this all the way back in Genesis 12, when God called Abraham out of a nation of unbelievers, and He said to him, all nations on earth will be blessed through you. What He meant is that through Abraham's family line, the Savior of all nations would come. And by the time of Malachi, that coming of the Savior was not that far away. A few more centuries, and the Lord would come to His temple. You see, another important reason that God wanted His people to rebuild the temple was this. There was a prophecy that when the promised Savior would come, He would appear at the temple. And so in order for that prophecy to be fulfilled, the temple had to be rebuilt. And so it was. And about almost 500 years later, the prophecy was fulfilled. Remember our gospel reading? About 500 years later, after the days of Haggai, God's Son, the desire of all nations, He appeared at the temple of Jerusalem. But when He got there, He didn't like what He saw. You see, the Jews of Jesus' day were doing dishonest business, of all places, in the section of the temple that was supposed to be a place of prayer for all the nations. Oh, the Jews of that day, they loved their building, they loved their temple, but they completely forgot the whole point. They did not remember why the temple was built in the first place. It was not to be a place where you ripped off your neighbor with dishonest business practices. It was a place of prayer for all nations. Even more, it was meant to be a mission outpost so that God's people could leave the temple and bring what they heard to the people around them. In fact, that's why this place exists as well. So Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Haggai when He came to the temple. And here's the key, my friends. Jesus' very presence in the temple filled the temple with glory because Jesus is God's glory in human flesh. My friends, one of the important purposes of the temple in Jerusalem was that it was meant to be a picture of how God ultimately wanted to dwell with His people. You see, God exists everywhere. I've already told you He doesn't need a place to live. But the reason He told them to build a temple is so that His glory could dwell there, so that the people could feel close to God. God is infinite. How can we possibly feel close to God when He's beyond space and time? The only way is if God comes down to us in some tangible way. And that's what God did in the Old Testament. He put His glory in the temple so the people, the nations, could look to the temple and say, here is where God has come down to us. Here is where we can feel connected to God. However, after Jesus died on the cross, where He suffered and died for our sins so that we might be forgiven, after Jesus died, we're told something very interesting. We're told that the curtain in the temple that was in front of the Holy of Holies was ripped in two from top to bottom. Now, why was that curtain there? Well, even though God's glory dwelled in the temple, God needed to teach His people something. He needed to teach them that sinners cannot dwell in the presence of God's glory and live. Something needs to be done about our sin. And so that temple was God's way of reminding the people, until the once for all sacrifice for sin is offered, there's still a separation. I'm here, but I can't be very close to you because the sacrifice hasn't been offered yet. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," God Himself took that curtain and ripped it in half. Why did He do that? Well, if you read the Bible, we understand why God did that. God's glory was leaving the temple in Jerusalem to find another temple. Where is God's temple today? Remember our reading from 1 Corinthians? The Apostle Paul said, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. My friends, when we are baptized, God's Spirit comes and dwells within us and makes us His temple. But there's even more. Whenever we come to the Lord's Supper and receive Jesus' body and blood, God Himself dwells in us. That's right, when we take the Lord's Supper, we rejoice in knowing that God's Son dwells within us, not just in spirit, but in flesh and blood. My friends, God is as close to us as He could possibly be. We might not be able to see Him, we might not be able to feel Him, might not be able to touch Him, but what did Jesus Himself promise? I will be with you always, to the end of the age. God just isn't close to us. He dwells within every believer. Over the years, many members of Concordia gave sacrificially of their time and talent and treasure so that this building could be built and expanded and maintained. But this building itself is not our focus. Our focus is what goes on in this building. Our focus is what this building stands for. And what this building stands for is Jesus. What goes on in this building is God serving us with His gifts. And what's wonderful is that we can take these gifts with us into the world as we live out our lives in worship of God, bringing His presence to others through our witnesses to them. You see, God actually dwells within us. And when we remember that, suddenly our whole life becomes a life of worship. When we realize how close God is to us with His love and forgiveness and mercy, it changes the way we think and speak and live. Have you ever wondered why the devil wants you to forget about God? Have you ever wondered why the devil wants you to think God is far, far away in some distant place? He wants you to forget about God because if you forget about God, that affects the way you live in a negative way. But if you remember that the God who created you and the God who loved you enough to die for you actually dwells within you, that changes everything. It changes your heart, it changes your mind, it changes the way you think and speak and live. So rejoice, my friends. The desire of all nations has come. God's Son lived for you, God's Son died for you, God's Son conquered death for you. One day He will return visibly for all to see. Then we will be able to touch Him and see Him and feel Him. On that day, we believers will inherit eternal life in God's new creation, where we will walk with God in the garden as Adam and Eve did before the fall. But until that glorious day, always remember what the Lord said, I am with you. The Lord has come to His temple. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.